All right, guys. Allow me, if you don't mind, to share. Can I share a few thoughts with you this morning? And I'm not going to preach a full message or anything. I'm not even considering this a sermon. But I do have some things that I would like to share with you. And so hopefully, groups in the back, you can hear me. If not, I'll project as well as I can, but it'll be on you to move closer if you can't hear me. Sound good? So get yourselves comfortable. And I wasn't necessarily trying to get you guys to notice one specific thing. Both of these sections of scripture are immensely deep. And I'm sure there's a variety of things that you guys noticed and were drawn to and were pulled to. And so there's no necessarily wrong answers. As long as it was there in the scripture, like I just knew it was going to be amazing study. But there is something that both of these scriptures touch on. There's a concept that both apostles, even though writing to different people, different places, different times, there's something that they both mention, this idea that I want to talk about for just a couple minutes. And I teased a little bit my last message, Rediscovering Discipleship. A couple weeks ago, I teased that there are some aspects of that message that Ecclesia is going to be staying on for a long time. And so actually what I want to do this morning coming out of that Bible study is I'd like to introduce to you a new series that, and it's actually sort of so immense that I have to take this morning just to tell you, like, this is the direction that we're going in. So I hope that's okay with you. I'd like to talk to you about becoming like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus, both Paul and Peter touch on something here in their epistles. Notice Paul says in Corinthians, you are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Peter says, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Both of these authors show us that in the life of the believer, there is a process that is taking place internally in regards to our very nature and our spirit, who we are, and that through life in Christ, he actually transforms us into an image of himself. And Peter says we become partakers in the divine. How incredible is that? Paul also writes in Romans 8 that God predestined us, he says, to be conformed to the image of his Son. We were predestined, we were set aside, we were called, we were selected to become like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, can I get a little bit theological on you? Because I'd like to set up this concept a little bit more. I said in that sermon, I said salvation can happen in a moment, but discipleship takes a lifetime. Now, what does that actually mean theologically? I'd like to break down a couple different doctrinal terms for you, and maybe some of you, this is, you already know this, this is, you know, old news to you. Some of you, you don't like the theology and the big words, you don't care, but everything I'm about to tell you is incredibly important for your faith. It's important that we know this, even if we don't deep dive study the doctrine. Let me give you a few different terms. The first is that of atonement. Atonement is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the debt of all sinners. And his atonement allowed for unity and peace between us, men and women, sinners, and a holy, perfect God. Atonement is Jesus' payment of sins that allowed for the reconciliation of relationship between us and God. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation, some translations say atonement, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Atonement. Somebody say atonement. The second is justification. Because Jesus atoned for our sins, God has declared us righteous. Justification is in some sense like a legal term that God has legally, by his laws, declared us as righteous. That anyone who has put their faith in Jesus, who is following Jesus, who trusted Jesus, who has become a disciple of Jesus, God has declared them, he has justified them as righteous. Romans 3:24 says, and you are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The tension for us, however, is that despite God declaring us righteous in a legal sense, we find that we are not actually righteous in nature. And that's where believers often find themselves lost and confused, because God declared me righteous. I don't stand accused for my sin, right? I'm free from sin, and yet I still sin. I'm still broken. How can both of those things be true? because Jesus atoned for sins, past, present, future. You have been forgiven. You've been declared eternally righteous, but you may not actually be righteous in this moment. Does that make sense? This is the tension that all of us right now, still in our flesh, we find ourselves in this place. However, God is not leaving you in that state. God doesn't just care about his legal declaration over you and the fact that your spirit's going to go to heaven, but rather there's a third term called sanctification. Somebody say sanctification. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Sanctification is the process by which a believer is made holy. And that happens by the power of the Holy Spirit and our submission to him. It's a lifelong process that only reaches its completion at Jesus' second coming and final fulfillment. Our sanctification is both positional. We are sanctified in Christ already, and it's progressive. We grow in holiness over time. This is a work that God does in us as we become more holy. The fourth term that I want to introduce to you is not necessarily a doctrinal term, and it gets tossed around a little bit in some different ways, but I'd like to introduce it to you in this way, the concept of spiritual formation. Extremely similar to sanctification, but often considered just a little bit different. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Here's my definition of spiritual formation, okay? The process of formation carried out by the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms the inmost dimension of the believer in Jesus to become more like Jesus, resulting in a natural outward expression of imitation of Christ. I'll give that to you again. Spiritual formation is the process of formation carried out by the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms the inmost dimension of the believer in Jesus to become more like Jesus, resulting in a natural outward expression of imitation of Christ. Like sanctification, spiritual formation is a process that happens throughout our walk with Jesus. While the doctrinal term sanctification is generally thought of just about holiness, spiritual formation is maybe a little bit more holistic type of transformation. It's the changing of everything that we are, our thoughts, our priorities, our actions, our attitudes, our mindsets, our feelings, to become more like Jesus. And this is how we partake in the divine nature, as Peter says. We are invited to be God's image bearers by being like Christ, by imitating Christ. Spiritual formation, however, it's not just our own effort to become like Christ. It's not just about choosing not to sin or not choosing sin or a matter of willpower or a religious exterior or doing the right thing. Spiritual formation is the inward process of true transformation that leads to natural outward change. Okay. Spiritual formation is not self-help. It is not self-improvement. It is not self-actualization. If anything, it might be the opposite of those things, because I find that as my spiritual formation progresses, I become more like Christ, which in some ways means I become less like me. I rely on myself less. I value my own progress less. But as I walk with Christ, as I obey Christ, as I follow Christ's teachings, as I spend time in his presence, I literally and I holistically become more like him. I do not become him, okay? I will never become independently divine in nature. I am not becoming Christ. I am becoming like him in every fiber of my being as his image bearer. You with me? Now, spiritual formation and spiritual growth is what the term I always heard growing up in church. These terms are often thrown around a lot, and we may talk about them in passing in different ways, but how does spiritual formation, how does that process actually happen? Does it just happen naturally? Like when I pray a sinner's prayer or when I declare myself a follower of Jesus, do I just naturally become more like him? Or do I find it possible to go to church and do religious activities and sit through Bible studies and go through worship nights? And do I, after years, still find myself possibly no more patient, no more loving, no more generous, no more like Christ? Is spiritual formation just a passive thing that happens in me when I identify as a Christian? Or do I have an active responsibility in the process? Whew! I'm so excited. Okay, so how? As you can't tell by that setup, I'm suggesting that it is not just passive. And so I want to ask the question, how does spiritual formation come about? I don't know about you, but if there is an option in my life to become more like Jesus and less like me, and be able to do the things Jesus did and live out the teachings that Jesus taught, I want to take whatever possible road that is that leads me there. So, Ecclesia Maui, I'd like for us to take a pretty deep dive journey into growing both our understanding and actual walking out the path of spiritual formation with Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So becoming like Jesus is not a message title for you this morning, but it's a series title that we're going to probably spend a very long time in, if that's okay with you. And can I get a little bit crazy with you guys here? I hope you trust me. Becoming like Jesus is not just going to be a series, it's going to be three series. And I'm kind of jokingly calling it a super series. Because I'd like to go through three different studies, independent series of study, under this subject of becoming like Jesus. Can I give you a thesis that I've been developing? And I hope you guys know that your 32-year-old pastor does not have everything figured out theologically, doctrinally, spiritually. Okay, so we are walking together in the path of following Jesus. And my privilege and honor is that I get to spend time studying the word and then presenting to you what I learn. But even what I'm about to tell you may not be like the whole truth, but this is the point at which I have come to in my understanding and in my learning. And so I'll give you this thesis that maybe as we go through this series, we will even find it is adapted. But this is what I believe right now on the subject of spiritual formation. I believe that there are three primary avenues by which the Holy Spirit works out my spiritual formation. These are like what I would consider the big three of what God uses to make me more like Jesus. The first is the practice of spiritual disciplines. The second is authentic spiritual community. And the third is suffering. I'll be saying more on this down the road, but please hear me right now. It's so important to know your spiritual formation is not controlled by you. Right. It is controlled by God.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are not things to do. And that is especially crucial in the category of suffering, by the way, which is the category that I've had the most cautious pushback from on people that I've floated this thesis to. Well, I'm not suggesting that we are to go out of our way to suffering. What I'm suggesting is that it is a primary avenue by which God uses to make us more like Jesus. In our spiritual formation, however, even though it's God who brings the growth, we still have responsibilities. We have things to do. So these three things, I'd like to do three independent series on them, and they're all going to actually look a little bit different. Each one's going to be structured a little differently. Like one of these is going to be actually an exegetical study, which I know, how can you do an exegetical study on a topic? You can, you'll see. Another one is going to be look more like a book study. Another one is going to be topical messages. But I want to spend time on each of these three categories. The practice of spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, meditation, fasting, silence and solitude, study, generosity, Sabbath. These disciplines that we see Jesus practice that we can practice, and we find, in fact, that when we practice them, we become more like him. We'll talk about authentic spiritual community, that the church, that the family of God is not just something that is supposed to help me and make me feel better, but actually it is a structure that God created that advances my spiritual growth, that makes me more like Christ. There are roles and responsibilities and opportunities and avenues within the body that make me more like Jesus. And then we'll also talk about suffering. How when I go through trials, and no, I don't believe that God is inventing new ways for me to suffer so that he can advance me spiritually, but rather God is a God who uses what I go through to make me more like him, the man of many sorrows acquainted with grief. I become more like him. So, part one, is going to kick off this Saturday. And would love for you to be there. I hope you can be there. I'm very excited. We're not even going to do them in that order, so come to find out which one we're doing first. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited. Let me close with this, though. I'd like to just say, for those of you that have been in community with me for a while, maybe have sat under my teaching for a while, have heard a lot of my messages, you may have gotten used to a certain direction that I'm often led to teach, which is often focused on denial of self, laying down self, serving others, obedience to Jesus, versus what? What? That sounded gnarly. Oh, you called 911?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway. I have over the years taught like multiple messages called It's Not About You. And that's been a frequent theme that I've discussed because I think that the church today is a little bit too self-focused. We will, if we're not careful, we'll go that route. So maybe taking such a deep study in spiritual formation may seem counter to what I often preach, but I want to assure you that it is not. Because to understand and to seek spiritual formation, to become more like Jesus, that is never to become a self-obsession or a self-help study or a self-growth strategy. I'm not desiring spiritual growth for myself. In fact, I find the more that I follow Jesus, the more I become like Jesus, the more of myself I must lay down. The less I choose my own preferences, the less I choose my own ways, the less I prioritize myself. So by the end of this super series, I don't expect Ecclesia, I don't expect us to be, like a monastic community of super holy mystics that have just become more like Jesus than anyone else, any other church on Maui. We're so much like God. Like, no, the Great Commission to make disciples, that is my commissioned purpose on this earth. And in this life, to love people, to lay my life down for people, to serve people, to love people that don't like me, to give up time and possessions, like that is the goal. But here's the thing. How am I to make disciples of Jesus if I don't know how to be a disciple of Jesus myself? I must become more like Jesus. How can I love people that I find I naturally hate? I must become more like Jesus. How can I serve other people when my own nature leads me to selfishness? I must become more like Jesus. How do I help others to follow Jesus and to lead them into that life? I have to become more like him. So the evangelistic mission is not forsaken in a study on spiritual formation. Please hear that. Okay. It's not put on the back burner. It's not put off for later. We're not like, let's spend a year talking about our own spiritual growth and then we'll do the Great Commission. No, they may and must happen simultaneously. But if I don't know what it really means to be a disciple, to lay everything down, to conform my mind, shift my attitudes, change my feelings, then my evangelism may be fiery, but it may also be fruitless. And so I must become more like him. And I believe, and I've spoken on this a number of times now over the last couple of months, that I believe it is actually a crucial part of my purpose on earth right now to become more like Jesus. And I believe that glorifies God. Yeah. And so this is something to look at. It's something that's so worth our time to study. And I'm so excited to do this together. I hope you guys are too. Part one's gonna be amazing. Yeah. So come on Saturday. We'll be worshiping. We'll be taking the Lord's Supper together and I'll be giving you part one of part one, all right? I know that's confusing, but just bear with me one step at a time, all right? Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and revelation and insight received this morning from the word. And I believe, God, that you have spoken to this community this morning in ways that are wider and deeper than I ever could with a message or sermon. But through your word, we find truth. And we thank you, God, for the power of your Holy Spirit speaking through your apostles to us today. And by their teaching and instruction, Lord, we bring ourselves into alignment with you, with the way of Jesus. And we believe, Lord, that as we continue our journey of following you, you'll be faithful to us, to guide us, to lead us, to walk with us. We trust you for every step of the process, and we submit ourselves to it, that it is a process. We're not looking for an end goal. We're not looking for a finish line. We're not looking for a holy completion. It's not about us. It's not about becoming more holy or becoming a better Christian. But would you help us, God, in our tendency towards pride and our tendency towards trying to help ourselves and trying to form ourselves? And would you help us, Lord, as we seek you to become more like you, lead us, guide us. It's your power at work in us. And so we submit ourselves to this transformation, that we would be like you, a partaking in your divinity. We love you, Jesus, and we're blessed and honored to be invited to follow you on this path. Thank you, Lord. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.